Hello, Dimitri, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Cernis. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Hello, Ren. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's start with a huge question, which is, Dimitri, who are you?
So I'm a mechanical project engineer and currently working on delivering beam instrumentation equipment for HiLumi project. So this is the short introduction of me. So I'm from Russia, from Moscow City. I graduated from Bauman Moscow State Technical University in 2006. Already it's 14 years ago, with a master's degree. And in 2008, I joined CERN to work on an international project of linear accelerator, which is called CLIC. So the project is still, this project is still being developed, but I changed several positions within CERN during these 12 years while I've been working for this organization. So many projects, many different people, and currently I'm a mechanical project engineer on HiLumi project Work Package 13, beam instrumentation.
Okay, so I would like to know, what do you like best about your work at CERN now?
Well, let's start with the reason why I joined CERN. So the main reason for me was that I was striving at that time, 2007, I think it was, we were in Paris with my wife. This was one of my first travels abroad, and I told her, just for fun, okay, it would be nice to one day to come to Europe and work with other people, other cultures. And she laughed and said, okay, yeah, Dimitri, yeah, maybe one day, but forget about it. Okay, and then one year later, more or less, or maybe 6 months later, so I was invited to join this project. It was really unexpected. It was sudden, sudden offer to me. So I didn't expect it, and I didn't even apply for anything. So I was found via a social network or like job site, something like that. And the decision was made almost immediately. I said yes, I go. Why I started all this story? So I'm working on the beam instrumentation projects. So my role consists basically of two roles. One is engineering role, where I have to do some engineering tasks, manufacturing, so design equipment, design how it's gonna be produced, delivered, so some tasks to purchase some equipment which will be part of our instrumentation projects. And the second role is project coordination. So basically what I do is not only the engineering, but also communication. Because the 90% of project coordination or project management is communication. Mm-hmm. So what my role is that you identify all the parties of the project which you have to communicate with in the beginning, and then along the project life cycle, you interact with these parties in order to collect requirements, to get your engineering solutions validated, verified, and at the end present the delivered project and make it validated by all these parties. So what I like the most is this interaction, because people at CERN, it's a very diverse society. So you have engineers, you have physicists, you have quality engineers, you have managers, you have anyone, journalists. So this is really what gives me the energy. So I start my morning not with checking my emails. I start with talking with people, talking with my team, asking them, okay, how was their weekend, what they've been doing during the weekend, all other stuff, like about their families, kids. So this is something which really gives me the motivation for the entire day which is in front of me. And of course, apart from cutting-edge technologies, which are present at CERN everywhere, I think most of them you don't find elsewhere in the world. This is also very interesting for my, let's say, engineering part.
To remember a bit the past, I would like to know, what do you miss most from Moscow?
Okay, this is very easy. So, you know, now we are in this crisis situation. So what I miss the most is my family and friends. My parents live in Moscow. My friends, okay, I have friends in Switzerland and France and other countries in Europe where I can easily travel, but not now. So all of my friends, almost all of my friends are in Moscow. So this is the first thing. Then second thing is what is usually called the big city life. So this is the rhythm, which is a bit different from Geneva region. So here it's a bit so slow. Mm-hmm. So all the shops close at 6. so nightclubs close at 1, whatever. So here it's different from Moscow. So Moscow, okay, I would say Moscow never sleeps. But it sleeps sometimes, but not very long. If you go out from your partner in Moscow, so any time of the day or night, you can find the cultural event, even at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, and this is the third thing I miss a bit, is the cultural life, because your native language, actually, this is what connects you with the culture. Mm-hmm. So the language connects you with the culture. So knowing French not as perfectly as I would prefer to, so I cannot really dive as deep as I'd like to the cultural life of Geneva or a neighbor in France. So that's why in Moscow it would be easier to do. And there are more opportunities to do it, because as I say, there are more events. Everything is open 24 hours a day. Okay, not now because of COVID. these are three things: family, friends, city life, and cultural life.
Now let's get to imagine the future, because I'm going to dream big and I'm going to imagine myself writing a novel in Galicia in front of the Atlantic. Why not? And I would like to know, Dimitri, what are your dreams?
Okay, so first one, and I repeat myself, is so that the crisis is finished. So this is my dream.
Yeah.
That will open the doors to other dreams. But okay, without jokes, so it's not actually a dream. It's a distant plan. I would call it a distant plan. Difficult to do, but not impossible. Because dreams are just impossible. So this was that I wanted to take my wife and my friends and make it the journey by car from ocean to ocean. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've been thinking about two roads, one from Lisbon to Vladivostok. So you actually cross Europe and Asia, Russia. Mm-hmm. And the second is in the United States from San Francisco to New York. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of resources like time. So first of all, it's time. So you need for a journey like this, if you want to do it well, if you want really to see different places, different sites, so you need, I would say, 3-4 weeks, which is difficult to organize. Okay, at CERN we are lucky, we have 6 weeks of vacation per year. So but okay, for my friends, not for all of them it is the case. Yeah, this is, I wouldn't call it really dream, but okay, more distant plan. Dreams.
Yeah, it's better to call it plan than dreams, actually.
Yeah. But okay, you talking about dreams.
It seems like closer.
Yeah. Okay, you mentioned that you wanted to stay in front of the Atlantic, and maybe I would say that, okay, I dream of the house where I could organize a small workshop for me, where I put several 3D printers, some cutting machine tools, and just start crafting something. So this is my dream now.
So I would like to know also, what comes to your mind when you hear the word beauty?
All these things which are done with passion, with love, with professionalism, they look beautiful to me. So anything you could imagine where actually the guy who made it, you see that he really invested all his skills and love, and he loved the thing he did. So, and this always looks beautiful. So you can imagine anything like high-speed train, beautiful building anywhere. Okay, some buildings are ugly, yeah, honestly speaking. But as I say, to me, you can really feel. So I mean, I feel when when I see the thing and it's done with love.
The Russian novelist and philosopher Dostoevsky wrote that man is pleased to count his sorrows, but he doesn't count his joys. And I would like to know if you agree with him or not. And also, I would like to know a place and a time when you were very happy that belongs to your list of joys.
In principle, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. But this is because the natural state of people is happiness. So that's why they remember all the sorrows but don't remember joys. Because this is just not natural. Mm-hmm. And joys are natural. And generally, okay, I think every Russian would agree with this statement. Well, and talking about where I was happy. So I'm always happy when something that I planned is becoming reality. Something I imagined, something I thought about. Like, for example, I told you the story about going to work to Europe. So at that moment, I was happy. This is something which gives me a sense of that, okay, I'm doing something really, so I'm doing the right thing. I've selected the correct path.
So our previous Cerny, Rama Kalaga, he wanted to know if you had to do the outreach of CERN to the general audience to tell them what we are doing here today, what would you do? I think it's a difficult one, actually.
This question I answered many times because when friends not working at CERN, they ask me, okay, what actually you do? So what's CERN does? What is it? And you know, your answer is actually different. So when you just start working at CERN, you answer one thing, then after 5 years, you answer different thing. Then because your understanding of such a big and complex organization also evolves with time. So answering now, so I would say that, okay, we have a machine, we have LHC, Large Hadron Collider, we have all the other machine and instruments for scientists. And what we do mostly at CERN and what CERN staff, what our mission is to make this machine function well, to make it function to fulfill the requirements of physicists who make their experiments using our CERN machines. So our job as an organization is to provide the instrument to science. So this is the brief answer, but I think this is now, as my understanding, improved a lot since 2008. Because in 2008, when I arrived, I didn't know such a thing. I think this describes shortly, without making people struggle to understand some technical terms, and without being too long. So this is so you can answer this question in one sentence.
Yeah. So last but not least, you've just become the interviewer. So please feel free to ask whatever you want to our next journey.
So I would ask the following things. So we all come from different countries, from different cultures, and we obtain the unique experience here at CERN, the organization. And my question to the next, I don't know who it will be and where he will be from or she. So how do you think the experience you obtained at CERN would help you and your career maybe, or your social life when you return to your home country? Or if you return to your home country, because some people they just don't come back. Or country or city, maybe people come from, I don't know, Zurich or Bern or Lyon to cities. So how would it help your career and social life when you return back home?
Okay. So thank you very much, Dimitri. This was the interview. I really enjoyed it.
My pleasure.